Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for Sunday, March 10th, 2024. Today's sermon is from Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, the use of means. If you'd like to follow along, please go to gracebaptistchurchnc.org, click the current sermons link at the top, and click today's manuscript. Welcome to Grace Baptist Church.
It is very helpful to sing songs such as this that we've sung this morning as we need the gospel. And we need, that's what we've been singing. If every song we get the gospel again and again. And so such a good song, particularly that last one. It just ministered to me, and just praise the Lord for His goodness to us. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. We're still continuing the section there with Peter's confession as Jesus as the Christ. With that in mind, let me read Matthew 16:18, and then I'll pray, and then we'll get started. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for another time. As we have prayed and we've confessed our sins, and we've worshiped you in our singing, and we've sung the gospel, and we've heard the gospel, and we... Now I pray that we would preach the gospel. Jesus says, I will build my church. And here we are, just a part of that church that is being built. I pray that today Jesus would be lifted up, that He would increase, that we would decrease. I pray that Jesus would become more beautiful to us, that truth, Heavenly Father, your truth from your word would come down to us through the preaching and teaching of the word. I pray that you would give us ears to hear, and eyes to see, Father, as we consider this message this morning. I pray, Father, in spite of me, that you would work, Father. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the sermon really today is just Jesus says, I will build my church. And the topic is, how does he do that? The use of means. The use of means. So what are those means? So we'll come to that in just a minute. But Jesus says in our passage here, I will build my church. And 2 weeks ago, we considered this statement, this amazing statement that Jesus, the man, the carpenter, makes there with his disciples. Because he takes responsibility for making a statement that only God could have made. And he says this because he is God in the flesh. And so, in the Old Testament, God building His church, Jesus says, I am, and I will build my church. We go back to Zechariah, the prophet, chapter 6, verse 12. The Old Testament looks forward, says, behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule on his throne. So shall he be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Now, this prophecy that I just quoted from Zechariah 6, was looking forward to the day that one would come and build the temple of the Lord. Now, let me ask you this. That prophecy back in Zechariah 6, is that referring to the temple in Jerusalem? Or is it referring to a time still yet in the future, from Zechariah's time, when the temple would be built? What's your answer? Well, the answer is yes. In their day, Zechariah, he was prophesying the physical temple in Jerusalem would be built. Again, because it was destroyed when they were in Babylonian captivity. But all of the temple building in the Old Testament was a picture of the true temple of God's people, particularly the church in the new covenant. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Let me read this to us. So then we, talking about the church, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. There's the building. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So as the church, we are the temple of God, made up of Jews and Gentiles together in one. So with this in mind this morning, I want to speak about the means that Jesus says, I'll build my church, and we think God building His church. Think about the means to build the church. I think about a contractor. We probably got some contractors in here. But the building is a big one that's being built downtown Kannapolis now. And they've been working on it, but then now it seems like they've shut off work with it. But we know that there's a contractor in charge of building that building. And so what does that contractor do in order to build that building? Well, he has to get plumbers, electricians, framers, bricklayers, masons, all of these different types of carpenters and all kinds of workers in order to bring all of that together in order to build that building. And so we might say the contractor is building the building, but he gets these folks, these uses certain means to make that building, bring it up from the ground until it is, one day it is finished. Well, in the same kind of way, Jesus is like that when He says, I will build my church. And so Jesus, in the same way, uses means to build His church. Now, we could mention lots of them probably under the umbrella of the two that I'm going to mention. But I want to mention two today. And this is a topical sermon. I don't get this directly from this text, but I get it from the Bible topically. So what are the means? Two of them. First, the Word of God. Second, the Spirit of God. And so with that in mind, those are my two truths this morning, and then we'll finish with some applications. But let's begin with the first means that Jesus uses to build His church. It is the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, we have nothing. We know nothing as creatures if it were not for the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, how did He do this? Well, He spoke. He spoke. Let there be light. Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Let the earth sprout vegetation. Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens, etc., etc. So God spoke and things came into being. And later, after creating the man and the woman, God spoke to them again. He told them about Himself. He told them what they needed to know about Him. He told them how to relate to Him. He told them how to obey Him. He revealed Himself to the man and the woman. Think back to Peter's confession in our text. Jesus says, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Well, He says, God did this. Now, we'll come back to the spiritual part of that particular revelation a little later in the sermon. But for now, God revealed Jesus to Peter through the Word of God. Now, Peter didn't just wake up one day without any knowledge of Jesus and say, you are the Son of God. So if you go back in the New Testament, you can see what happened. Jesus called him from the fishing lake, and then what does he do? He spends day after day, week after week with Peter and the disciples. What's he doing? He teaches, he explains, he reveals. And who is Jesus? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the living Word from Hebrews 4 there. So Jesus, as God, in essence, in the flesh, He was the very Word of God. And so when He spoke, did He ever speak anything that was not the Word of God? Of course not. So in everything, He was giving Peter the Word and the disciples the Word. And He was building Peter into the leader of the apostles. And so the primary means that Jesus uses to build his church is the eternal Word of God. Now, Jesus told his disciples, tells us, go and make disciples, teaching them everything I have commanded you, and go and preach the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. As the Apostle Paul explains to us in Romans 10, he says, how shall people hear unless there is a preacher? And then a little bit later, he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. And so the Word of God came to me at some point, back as a kid, and then God worked. And we'll see through the power of the Holy Spirit how He does that. But the Word of God came to me in power, and I believed on the Lord Jesus, and now I am growing. And if you are a Christian today, the same thing has happened. And also, we continue. We not just hear and believe, but we continue to grow and study and learn by the Word of God. And so God is building, Jesus is building His church through the means of the Word. Look with me, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 1, if you'd turn with me there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and following. In these verses, we see this truth. Now remember, these are the words of Peter, the apostle, to whom Jesus said, you know, I will build my church, and you've made this great confession. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter. So as Peter looks back at his own life, and later he writes these words, here's what he says when he thinks about the church. That's us. He says, verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. In verse 23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through what? The living and abiding Word of God. Those are Peter's words. Verse 24, for all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but what? The word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Now move down to chapter 2, verse 4. Peter says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. Verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So if you were to go and read all of that in context, it's just illustrating this point. Jesus is building His church, and this is through the Word of God, which I am preaching today. And we'll come back to that in application. But let's move on to our second truth. The other means that Jesus is using that I'm pointing out today is that Jesus is building His church by the Spirit. So far we've only spoken about the power of the Word in the building of His church. But let me ask, what gives the Word power when it goes out and we hear it? Well, it is the Spirit. Let me ask, what makes the Word of God go out into the world and accomplish His purposes? I think of Isaiah 55. He says, the rain comes down, and as the rain comes down, it waters the earth, so shall my Word come out from my mouth, and when it goes out, it will accomplish my purpose. And so, what makes the Word of God powerful? It is the Spirit of God. Now, we've talked about this often, but the last couple weeks ago, but we know that in essence, Jesus is God. In His being, there is no difference. He is God, and we cannot separate Jesus from God. But when we consider the Holy Spirit, it is the same. We cannot separate the Spirit of God from God in His essence. So if we go back to, you don't have to turn there with me, but back in Genesis 1, we read, God created the heavens and the earth. So there's God. That's verse 1. But in verse 2 of Genesis 1, we read, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep." And notice this part. "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So there we see God, I would say God the Father, we see God the Holy Spirit right there in those verses. And though this is mysterious, this means that as God spoke creation into existence, it was the Spirit, we could say, at the same time, powerfully created what God spoke very clearly. At the same time, this powerful creation was carried out by the Spirit, which cannot be separated from God. And since this is true, we can say that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the means that God uses to bring power to everything, to bring power to His will in this world, to bring power to create, to bring power to save sinners, to give power in your life to keep you going as a Christian. On and on we could go. It is the power of the Spirit that works. Now, if you think back to the Old Testament, what gave the prophets authority to preach and to speak? Well, it was the power of the Word. Isaiah, God says, "My Spirit, Isaiah, is upon you, and my words are in your mouth." We could read scores of verses like that when it comes to the prophets. God gave His Spirit so that when they spoke, it was powerful when they spoke. What about David as the king? What gave him authority as the king? Well, it was the Spirit. Psalm 51, David prays, "Lord, do not take your Spirit from me." So in the Old Testament, over and over and over, we see that the Holy Spirit is the powerful means working to save a people, particularly save Israel. And it is the Spirit in the Old Testament that keeps Israel. And it's the Spirit that even moves mysteriously to move other nations to go about the ways that God sovereignly in His providence is moving the world. And so that was in the Old Testament. God's Spirit is still working. Now when we get to the New Testament, in principle, nothing has changed, because God is still working by His Spirit in power. Now, when we come to the New Testament, though, there is a difference between the Old Testament and the New, as to as to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, think about it. The Holy Spirit was given to kings and to prophets and to priests at times and to individuals when there was even men and women, when there was a certain task that needed to be fulfilled. And so God puts His Spirit individually on those folks. Well, in the New Testament, who has the Spirit? All of God's people. We are part of the new covenant. Jeremiah 31 says, you know, "No longer will you teach your neighbor, but all of you will know who the Lord are. And all of us will love Him by the Holy Spirit." Now, I say that, but let's go back to our principle, though. In principle, even in the New Testament, as far as our truth about Jesus building His church, it is still the same. And it will always be the same until Jesus comes back. It will always be the power of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Love going to Zechariah because that's where we're going next in preaching. But Zechariah 4, 6 sums up the work of the Spirit of God. Probably some of you might have memorized this verse. "Not by might, nor by power." That's speaking about the power of might of men and worldly power. "Not by might, not by power, but how? By my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And so with that in mind this morning, I want to, those are our two main truths, okay? Jesus is using the Word and the Spirit to build His church. Let me mention one truth, and then we're going to move on to some applications. Truth I want to mention is this: the Word And the Spirit, I have no picture here of the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit, you're getting me, go together. Always. If God does not make His Word powerful, there is no church. There are no people of God in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. The means God uses to build His church are always the Word and the Spirit. Always. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of Christ, Romans 10:17. But it wasn't just hearing. Many people throughout history have heard the Word. And most, so far, have not believed. Why is that, do you think? Well, you can say many reasons from many different perspectives, but at the core, it is because the Word did not come in power. Think back to Nicodemus. Jesus says to Nicodemus, this great teacher, this leader of the Jews, this Pharisee, he says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, the Spirit blows where He wills. And then he says a little bit later, you must be born again. There's the power of the Spirit who blows where He wills. Very mysterious. Paul says to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1, 4-5, I love these words. As Paul thinks about that church at Thessalonica, here's what he says. For we know, brothers, that you are loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. So that's my truth here after the two means. The Word, Spirit, they go together. And so there's a lot I could say today, but I'm just going to end with four applications. First application for us. It is the power of God through the Word and the Spirit that you and I are being saved and will be saved. That's a simple truth. Just think of your sins, brothers and sisters, even as we confess them this morning. And think of them. I think of my own sins, and I think, wow, there's so many of them. And I have so sinned against God. And this being, as a child, disobedient to my parents, or telling a little lie, or stretching the truth, or looking at something I shouldn't look at, or as an older person, looking at a woman, as Jesus says, in your heart, or thinking evil about your neighbor, you name it. Think of our sins. And when I think of my own sins, I think, how am I still here? Now, we know it is because Christ has covered my sins. And if you are a Christian, He's covered your sins because of the cross that we've sung about. God has taken the wrath that you deserve, and He's poured them out on Christ. And Christ did not deserve it. He did not sin, but yet He gives. If you are a Christian today, and the Word of God has come to you in power, and you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then His righteousness is yours. But I think, when I think about all my sins, I think, after 16 years, why am I still a pastor? Often life, it just feels like I am right on the precipice of just falling off and going too far when I think of my own heart. And I read those, even the what we read this morning in our confession with Matthew 5, when the Beatitudes, and I still think, wow, why am I still pursuing, you know, as a parent, my kids' well-being in Christ? Or as a grandparent, you might be thinking, how in the world why am I still going? Well, it is because salvation belongs to the Lord. You can only give glory to God for His powerful working in you. If you are still here, and you are bent towards the things of God and the things that I preach, and when I talk about Jesus and you say amen out loud or whether you say it in your heart, it is because the Word of God has come to you in power and you are believing even still to this day. Now, we could go over to Hebrews and we could get all the warnings, and those warnings are God's means also to keep us down the right path, but we're not there today. But it is because salvation belongs to the Lord. And I think about Paul's prayer, which, by the way, this is probably the prayer that I pray most for you as a pastor. And I think the elders can attest that I do this when I pray through the years. Paul's prayer to the Ephesians. He prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit, Holy Spirit, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you might know what is the great hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And then he prays this. This is the part I want to emphasize, and this is what I pray. I pray that you would know the immeasurable greatness of His power towards those who believe. May we know the power of God that's by His mercy, by His grace, based upon the person and work of Christ, keeping us today. It is power. According to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and He seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It is the Holy Spirit, and it is working in you. And so if you are being saved, if you are saved and you continue, it will be because the Word of God has come to you in power and God is keeping you. Second application. Since we've been talking about the Word and the Spirit going together as the means to build His church, therefore, we must preach and teach and deliver this Word in the world. I think of one of Charles Spurgeon's, I think he gave this illustration at least three times. He talks about the Word of God. And he said the Word of God is like, you remember the illustration, it's like a lion. Well, you cage up the lion, and he's in a cage. But what happens when you let the lion out? I don't want to be in the room with the lion. You don't need to defend the lion. Just let him out of the cage. And the lion will go and do what a lion does. That is the Word of God. And so, it is the Spirit, it is the Word. We must preach and teach the Bible. I think about Jonah. He was all upset because God was sending him to those heathen people. Why was he so upset? Partly. Because he knew the power of the preached Word of God. And he knew that if he went to Nineveh and preach these words, what would happen to them? That pagan people would get saved. Brothers and sisters, we are pagan people. And it is the power of the Word that's come to us. If you are a Christian today, it's because the power of the Word has come your way. So shouldn't we not just go do it, but shouldn't we have a heart desire to go and preach the Word to our neighbors and to our co-workers and to those on the streets in China Grove and those who are around us and our family members? I must confess, I often do not feel that and have that. And I'm going to get this at the very end, but how do we get it? At the end of the day, we pray. That's all we can do is pray that God would give us great grace and work in us. And it goes along with that prayer too, that we might know the immeasurable greatness of the power that works in us. Brothers and sisters, we are Christians. We're not like the rest of the world. We have been called and regenerated and converted by the great power of the Word of God and His Spirit. Application. Third application. Since the Word and the Spirit are the primary means God uses to build His church, this means we must trust. That's a little different than just getting it out there. We must trust the Word will go forth by His Spirit. So, What does it look like in your life to trust that the Word by the Spirit is going to go out? Well, here's what it looks like. I got a bit here. When Jesus was tempted in the desert by Satan, what's the first thing Jesus says? Satan, man does not live on bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes, proceeds from the mouth of God. That's Matthew 4:4. So this means that when I say, what does it look like in your life? This means that the Word is powerful to help you in every need. God's not going to leave you out there with some need that He can't help you with His Word. So again, this week, as I considered my own sins, particularly my sins of just mostly omission, my lack of zeal, particularly, guys, I will say even now, pray for me that I will pray more for you. Even as I say, if we want a spiritual, powerful church, elders, how are we doing? How are we praying for God's people at Grace? And I'm just confessing to you. Pray for me that I will pray for you. But I think about other sins of omission. And I think, well, and you might think the same thing. Can God forgive me again? And the older you get, seems like the same recurring sins happen. I used to think you just get over it, get over it, get over it. How can God forgive me again? And then I remember 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, how many times? Jesus would say 70 times 7, and we know the meaning of that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And of course, I would have to throw in there a heart of repentance. Of course, it's not just that God will forgive, God will forgive, and then I'm going to just continue doing what I was doing. But it is saying, God, I don't want to do that. And I repent in my heart. Please forgive me. And I trust the blood of Christ. I trust His work on the cross. Or if you feel possibly the weight of your temptation or your testing. Anybody going through anything difficult right now? Everybody's both hands go up. Some are going through really difficult times. And you think, I cannot go through this testing anymore. And I'm on the brink of saying, this is too much, God. Hebrews 4:15, go to the Word. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Parents today, if you are a parent or even a grandparent praying for your grandchildren, if you're concerned about your child who is being disobedient and rebellious, well, pray and ask God to move. And when He does not move in your timing, trust His great promise. Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. What about your marriage? Maybe your marriage is going badly. There's so many things there that are going on. Well, go to Ephesians 5. And look at the Word and consider that it is a picture of the gospel and believe the truths that you find there. If you are anxious, consider 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and He will not let you be tested or tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. If we want revival as a church, if we want to be more spiritual and more powerful and all the things we could say, we must go to the Word. On these truths of the Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you and we are being built up, the contractor, building us up through these means with the plumbers and the electricians and all, into a building. It is through the Word and it is through the Spirit. And only, I would say, by the Word and by the Spirit in this regard. Final application. The building of the church is a spiritual endeavor. We are not building a business. Jesus is not building the, the institutions of the world. He is building the church. He is building something spiritual. Jesus says to Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Now, yes, we are all physical. We're sitting here, physical bodies, physical chairs. I get it. And yes, God is working in the world in that way. But my point is, it is the power of the Word through the Holy Spirit that brings, that changes the heart and changes the world. And so this means that the building of the church is a spiritual endeavor. We are not just another country club out there or another meeting place or another club. We are the church. And so the less spiritual, the more we do not rely upon the Word and do not rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit through prayer, I would say, then the less spiritual we make the church. And the more we will be concerned with the things of this world. The less spiritual we make the church, the less content you will become and we will become. If we are thinking we can build the church in our own ways and run the church in our own means, we cannot do this. The less spiritual we make the church, the more we will grumble and complain because we think we can fix something by our means. But God fixes and He builds through which means? The Word and the Spirit. The less spiritual we make the church, the more complicated we become. And we start adding things. That's what we do. The things of the world. The less spiritual we make the church and think it must run like the businesses of the world, the more we will fail in our task to make true disciples. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It will always be the Word and the Spirit, brothers and sisters. And so I'm going to conclude there, but I'm just going to say to us as we close, a lot of things we can do. I hope this has been helpful to you and to us as we think about what we do at Grace. But I would ask you and plead with you and myself to pray more. Pray every day and pray that God would make such words come alive in your heart, in your mind, and then just trust what God will do. So with that in mind, as we are so dependent upon the Lord, let's close our time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks again for these words. We give thanks for, Father, any work that's been done through the preaching of the Word, Father, by Your Spirit today, we give You praise and honor. This is not about me. It's not about some man-made institution. Father, it is about You and Your greatness. And we proclaim Your greatness and we worship You. And how do we worship You? In spirit and in truth. And we know the truth because You have been so gracious to us. We're like two-year-olds. Three-year-olds who You give words to that we can understand them, and we have Your Word, and oh, it's been given to us in jars of clay. And so, Father, I give thanks this morning, and I pray that You would help us, Father, to take these truths in, help us to look unto Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also find us on Apple Podcast. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove. You can also join us at the South Rowan YMCA, 950 Kimball Road, China Grove, North Carolina. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for fellowship, and service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.